Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friend. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, there can be nothing better than a road trip in Wisconsin. But according to critics, these days, there can often be nothing worse than a road trip because of potholes, poorly maintained highways, and local bridges that, according to some, could be dangerous. The problem, of course, is how to pay to fix them. I'm Glenn Moberg. One of today's guests on Route 51 says enough is enough. Craig Thompson, the executive director of the Transportation Development Association, whose campaign of Just Fix It Wisconsin is demanding immediate action. Two local municipalities that have signed onto that campaign, the city of Marshfield and Clark County, are represented by another of our guests, 69th District Republican State Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford. And last but not least, we welcome one of the guys whose responsibility it is to do the hard work of fixing and maintaining our roads, Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. We're talking about infrastructure today, and as always, we want you to join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. The number again is 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Craig Thompson, so thanks so much for joining us on the telephone today, and thank you, Bob Culp and Jim Griesbach, for being here in our studio. Jim, we're actually going to start with you today. Tell us what your role is as the Marathon County Highway Commissioner. What do you do?
As a commissioner, I oversee the operations here at the Highway Department in Marathon County. That goes anywhere from fixing those potholes to plowing the snow in the winter. In the summertime, we pave about 24 to 30 miles a year, and then we also tackle a bridge or two a year with our own crews. And then we're also under contract by the state of Wisconsin to do the maintenance on the state and interstate here in Marathon County.
What are some of the most common complaints that you hear?
Well, the most common ones are, of course, in the winter, my road isn't plowed. We're always the last one to get plowed. In the summer, you know, the spring, potholes, you got to come fix my roads. We have some of the bridges that are posted now in Marathon County that some of the loggers and the milk trucks have to make longer routes go around because the roads are posted, the bridges are posted. So we have that complaint going on. And a lot of times, people are looking a little bit more for some multi-use trails around the cities of Wausau and Marshfield that they could like to get out there and bike, and we just simply can't provide those in every area that we go to.
How many construction projects are you involved in right now? If you drive on Highway 51 or on Stewart Avenue in Wausau, those barricades and lane closures seem to be up everywhere.
Well, it's summer, so it's orange barrel season here in Wisconsin. For Marathon County ourselves, we're doing about, again, 24 miles of paving right now. We're east of here in Wausau on Highway N, relaying some asphalt. We're building a bridge down by Mosinee. And we also have a bridge that's being contracted out in the west part of the county.
And finally, where does the money come to pay for all of this?
A lot of those have been used for a tax levy. Some of those we've had county reserves in previous years, but those that have been depleted, and we're looking at quite a bit of shortfall for 2017.
Craig Thompson, tell us about the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Who are you, and what do you do?
Sure, Glenn. We're a statewide not-for-profit membership organization. We have a little over 400 members statewide, and they range from individual businesses that know how important transportation infrastructure is to their bottom line, to chambers of commerce, to local units of government, to companies that are involved in providing the transportation, whether it be road building firms or engineering firms or transit companies or airports or railroads. And so we try to advocate for the importance of what an interconnected, well-maintained transportation network can mean to an economy and a way of life.
Explain that to me.
Well, you know, you just heard Jim talk about some of the bridges that he's had to post in Marathon County, and that's not unusual through a lot of counties throughout the state and other roads that are weight-restricted. Well, like he said, for the timber producers, of which we do have members, for milk haulers, which we have members, that creates a pretty significant hardship on their businesses. for commuters when we have to keep delaying projects and just doing overlays again and again. You know, they get frustrated because they're getting held up, and they feel like the same stretch is being repaired, you know, every couple of years, because it is, because we don't have the funds to do it correctly. So, you know, those connections, getting products on time to the locations they need to be at, has a big impact on a lot of businesses. The wear and tear on the fleets for a lot of our companies that we've heard from throughout the state has a pretty big impact on them. And just for all of us wanting to get to and from work, it has a pretty significant impact as well.
You've got a pretty big campaign going on right now that's attracting the support of a number of municipal and county governments. It's called Just Fix It Wisconsin. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, for the past decade, there's been commissions that have been appointed to look at the problem. There has been studies and a lot of numbers, and the problem's been well documented, that we have a pretty significant shortfall of state funding for transportation. And really, the Just Fix It campaign is, we've moved beyond the numbers a little bit from what we've heard from people all across the state, is they're growing a little impatient with that, and they want the government to just fix it. And so we've worked with the counties and the towns and the cities and other economic development groups across the state to sort of just give people a forum and a voice. They can go to a website, they can share their pictures, they can share their stories, and we're relaying those, that there is a sentiment out there that people want it to be just fixed.
And what is your website for people who want to look it up?
They can go to justfixitwi.com or tdawisconsin.org. Either one will get you to that site, and if folks want to share a story, there's a portal where they can do that.
Now, Governor Scott Walker has said that Wisconsin spends more on state highways per capita than almost any other neighboring state. Craig, how do you respond to that?
That's pulled from the Federal Highway Administration, took a snapshot, and it really depends on what period you want to choose and what criteria. If you want to look at it versus lane mile, we're one of the lower. If you want to look at per capita, we can be higher depending on the period of time that you look at. But I would say, and one of the reasons that it has been higher is that debt service is included in that number, which is, debt service is actually the fastest growing line item in the entire Wisconsin Department of Transportation budget, which is very concerning to us. You know, we think a better way to look at it is, if you compare us with our neighbors, where are we on user fees? So in Wisconsin, we have two user fees that go into a segregated transportation fund. The $75 registration fee we pay when we renew our vehicle every year, and the 30.9 cent gas tax that we pay when we fill up our car. If you look at those two user fees that we pay compared to our neighboring states, we're not only lower than every one of our neighboring states in what we pay, we're significantly lower. We're about 61% lower in what we're paying in our user fees than the average of all of the Midwestern states.
Let's get some reaction from our Assemblyman, Republican Bob Culp of Stratford. Governor Scott Walker saying Wisconsin spends more on state highways per capita, Bob, but Craig Thompson saying that's kind of misleading.
Well, first off, I want to say it's great to be here again with you, Glenn, and also with you, Jim, Highway Commissioner. You guys do the real work out there, and I appreciate that. And also good to be on with you, Craig. You know, the governor makes a number of points, and one of them is that it's hard to travel anywhere in Wisconsin without it being orange barrel season, and I certainly get that and I understand that. As to how that data is pulled, I certainly, you know, Craig has the point of view that he's put out. I can't dispute that. I haven't looked at that. I guess I'm here not necessarily to worry about what other elected officials are saying, but to kind of give what I see in the entire equation. So that's why I'm here today.
Well, what do you see in the equation?
Well, you know, it's a complex thing. When you have the city of Marshfield, for instance, that puts a referendum out that earlier this week failed and pretty much went down in flames, and yet the elected officials there are signing a Just Fix It petition, it's a little bit hard for us at the state level to dissect that and to understand it. The way I look at it is that everybody wants it just fixed, and I'm included in that scenario. What elected officials do is they say, we see that referendum go down in flames, and we translate that into the fact or into the thought that people don't want their taxes taken up. And so it is easy for an elected official to say, I really don't want to make that choice to put people's taxes up, because it's obvious that on a referendum level they don't. The way I see the transportation thing and overall, though, is that we have had 10 consecutive years of tax decreases, which is what it amounts to. Since we took indexing out in 2006, we really have seen 10 consecutive years of tax decreases. I believe
that's even before Scott Walker, before Governor Walker.
Well, the gas tax didn't change any. That's correct. That was a bipartisan vote back in 2006. As I was asking Commissioner Jim on the way in here, does he build roads for the same cost as he did in 2006? And he indicated that the asphalt pricing was double what it was in 2006.
Jim, you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, in 2006, so this year with the fuel being down, our prices did come down a bit. In 2005, we were paying about $20 a ton. This year, we're a little over $40 a ton, and that's just for the mix. If you go back even farther, when I started with the county back in about 1990, for us to go out and pave a 1 mile of road, it would run around $75,000. It was a big deal when we hit $75,000. We said, boy, what are we going to do? We're at $75,000 to pave 1 mile of road. Last year, our cost was a little over $208,000. And the federal gas tax, you know, we're not even discussing that. That hasn't moved since the early 90s. So what can, you know, basically what could you go today and buy that you bought 10 years or 20 years ago for the same price? It's not there.
Let's get some reaction from Craig Thompson. Craig, that vote in Marshfield, they voted no on Tuesday on a tax referendum that would have generated $6.8 million over 5 years. And it would have raised the assessed valuation just $1 per $1,000. It went down in flames, as Bob said, even though the city of Marshfield signed on to your Just Fix It campaign. How do you react to that?
Well, I'm not really surprised at all that happened. And I would share the frustration of people in the city of Marshfield that the city had, you know, I think it's five projects on some roads that really need work, and that they had to resort to going to a referendum to exceed the property tax limit and charge the property taxpayers to do that when we have user fees that are in place that are supposed to fund our transportation system. And when we had regional meetings around the state, we heard this over and over again from the local units of government. More and more are looking at, I know Portage now is looking at a wheel tax. There's others that have adopted a wheel tax. There's others that are simply bonding more, which ends up on the property tax eventually. Or there's some like Marshfield that are going and asking voters, do you want to exceed the property tax limits and put it all on your property tax to fix these roads? And it's I guess I don't blame the city of Marshfield. They had no other choice, but it was the best of a lot of bad choices. And from our standpoint, we need to adjust the user fees so that we don't get to that situation, so that the local units of government aren't put in that situation.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you just joined us, we're talking about infrastructure, our roads, our highways, our bridges, how to pay to maintain them. With Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, he is spearheading a campaign to get it done quickly called Just Fix It Wisconsin. There is a link to his website on the Route 51 Facebook page. Our other guests, Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford and Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Jim Griesbach, the wheel tax, this is something Craig just mentioned. The city of Wausau is considering a wheel tax of $20 for each vehicle that doesn't exceed 8,000 pounds. The current law states that an action like that can't be taken unless there's a referendum. Do you think if they tried that in Wausau, it too would go down in flames?
I'm not sure about the city of Wausau, but the Marathon County is also looking at a $25 wheel tax at this time. It's picking up a lot of support from county board members. It has been endorsed both by the infrastructure and by property and finance at this point.
If the county board simply approved it, would that be enough? Would you need a referendum for it?
No. My understanding is if the county board would approve it, it would be adopted, and then within 90 days it could go in effect.
Exactly how bad our roadways. Let me start with you, Craig. Are you exaggerating at all? You know, it seems like everywhere you look, there are construction projects.
Well, again, and I think a lot of those projects, we're doing overlays and we're putting lipstick on a pig in a lot of instances. There's different metrics you can look at in terms of to measure it, and people can look at different things. The Federal Highway Administration collects the only data that they collect that's the same from every state is something called the IRI index or the International Roughness Index. And if you look on that, you can go to the USDOT website, and they list the 50 states. And on that one, Wisconsin is ranked 47th out of 50 states in the country in terms of the roughness index. Another metric you can look at is the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance issued a report card for Wisconsin for 2015 where they measured 23 different areas from household income, graduation rates, poverty, all kinds of things. And of the 23 grades, the one that got the worst in the entire state was the condition of our infrastructure, where we got a D. So, you know, there's other studies I could tell you as well, but we're not stacking up as well, and it's really gone down significantly over the last decade.
Where are we going to come up with the money to pay for all of this?
Well, the co-chairman, the Republican co-chairman of the Joint Finance Committee, John Nygren from the Green Bay area, just asked the Fiscal Bureau recently to give an estimate of where we're at in the fund, and they issued, the Fiscal Bureau issued the report that we're about $939 million short of revenue coming in to just meet what was okayed in the last budget. And so, you know, we've got significant issues. Whether that's going to be made up, you know, all at once or not, obviously, you know, it remains to be seen and it's difficult. But we did pass a constitutional amendment in this state. 80% of the voters in 2014, 80% voted yes to amend our constitution so that when we pay a gas tax and we pay our registration fees, it goes into a separate transportation fund only to be used for transportation. And so from our standpoint, when you put those two together, we're significantly lower than any of our other states. They are user fees, and that's the area I think that we need to look at first.
Now, that referendum was pushed by Senator Jerry Petruski, who chairs the Transportation Committee, Bob Culp, and the idea was that we would no longer raid the transportation fund in order to meet other needs in the state. Comment on that.
And that was really a very good thing to do with the amendment to the Constitution. Over the years in the past administration, there was over $1.3 billion taken out of the transportation fund. Now I believe people can feel confident that the money that is put in the transportation fund stays there. And, you know, I think what needs to happen is a lot more of exactly what we're doing here this morning, just educating people, having lawmakers help educate the people that they have a degree of confidence that we're not just going after money to throw it in a black hole. There is an audit that's being conducted on the Department of Transportation that's very extensive and includes a lot of different facets. I don't know that we'll have time to talk about it all this morning. I believe that's a good thing because there are people that say from a political perspective that, wait a minute, that's why do you need more money? That doesn't make sense. Well, I believe I've made the case that we've had 10 years of declining revenues because inflation, we haven't kept up with inflation, which I think it's irresponsible, or it's not irresponsible, it's the wrong word. It's really not a conservative principle to borrow money that on things, even if they're 40-year road projects, because we're always going to have those. We're always going to have those investments that we need to make into future, and we can't just continue to borrow more money. That's not a conservative principle.
Bob, let's go back to this transportation fund and the rating. Governor Doyle dipped into it, but that was during the financial downturn of 2008. I mean, the bottom had dropped out of the economy. A lot of people thought we were heading for a second Great Depression. Mm-hmm. So he was scrambling. He was doing everything he could so that the state could meet its essential obligations. And sure, he raided the transportation fund. If we ever have another economic downturn like that, that's no longer available mm-hmm. to a future governor. Aren't you worried that that's tying the hands of our future governors and lawmakers?
I think you're right on there, and you're putting me on the spot there. The bottom line of it is we do now have a box around that, and that I'm not casting any blame. I'm just reporting the facts of what happened. But the education process of what we need to do and where we need to go and how we need to really keep up with the increasing costs of goods and services and roads, I think we need to have that discussion, and that's what we're doing here today.
Today on Route 51, we're looking at infrastructure, the condition of our local roads, highways, and bridges, and the cost of paying to maintain them with Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford, and Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. I'm Glenn Moberg. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a short break. Elaine in Wautoma, we're going to get to you right after that break. So please hang on to the telephone. Here's one of many road songs that we're going to be playing today. This is a song about that 51 highway by Robert One Man Johnson from a live performance on Route 51.
I don't get the woman that I'm loving. Won't go down old Highway 51 no more.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Wasco Windows, Florentine Opera, and Wilmar Chocolates. You too can help ensure the future of WPR programs for years to come. Find out more at WPR.org/sponsor. Support for WPR comes from the Medical College of Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin Campus, bringing the first medical school to the region to help ensure generation after generation of Wisconsinites have access to personalized care right here at home.
Every Friday, we discuss and debate the top political news each week with two guests from different perspectives during our Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll join in with your questions and views, too, on the issues that matter most to you during the Week in Review, Friday mornings at 8, rebroadcast Friday nights at 9, here on the Ideas Network.
Now you go through Manaqua, Wausau to Rockford, Union City's looking mighty pretty. Won't you get here to this?
The Denise Sauter Band reworking the jazz standard Route 66 to have some fun on Route 51. From a live performance just last month, where else? Here on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about infrastructure, the condition of our local roads, highways, and bridges with Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford, and Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Elaine in Wautoma, who's been waiting patiently. Elaine, you're on Route 51.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Now, I have a question because I'm a lottery player. I play Powerball and everything. And when that first came into being, it was told that a lot of that money from Powerball was going to go into our Wisconsin roads. And ever since that time, I've never heard anybody say that some of that money has gone into the roads or what percentage. And I want to know what happened to that.
All right, Elaine, thanks so much for the call. Bob Culp, that's your bailiwick.
That was obviously long before I was in state office. In fact, today is the third anniversary of when I decided to run for this seat. So lottery predated that by a number of years. And as I recall it, it was to reduce property taxes, not necessarily so directly tied to transportation, although I could be wrong on that. But obviously the lottery is like every other state component of the taxes. It's audited and I could certainly find out exactly what the initial intent of that was. But in my recollection, it was primarily to reduce property taxes, which you should see a lottery tax credit on your property tax bill at current as contrasted with a transportation revenue source.
Craig Thompson, there are restrictions on how much local governments can raise property taxes now without going to referendum. How is that impacting the quality of road construction and maintenance?
Well, first, I just want to, I think Bob is accurate on when the lottery was adopted and what it was for. As far as the property tax, Jim can probably give you a firsthand account of what it, how it's affecting them in Marathon County. But, you know, for counties, they carry out so many services from helping, you know, long-term care, the court system, environment and land use, juvenile justice, and, you know, a lot of that is funded with property tax dollars, as is their highway department. So it's all impacted when you've got a cap on it, and property taxes in this state, we've put a lot of our services on the property tax bill, and people don't want those property taxes going up more. But you throw that all into the mix, and when you get state aids right now for the counties and for all local governments, is they're getting less than they were, you know, 8 years ago in real dollars, not adjusting. They're getting less money, and you can't go to that property tax anymore because you've got all these other services on there that have needs as well. I think it puts you in a pretty tough spot. That's why I think Jim said they're looking at trying to find another revenue source.
Jim Griesbach?
Yeah, so, you know, it goes back to what Craig talked earlier today was, you know, it goes back to a user fee. We had some reserve funds from older projects that we were able to save some money, some past budgets, some easy winners that we had, not in the near past, but a few years back we had some easier winners. We had some reserves. Those have been depleted. We're looking at Marathon County, a $7 million shortfall for the 2017 budget. And the user fee, what Craig talked about, goes directly to the transportation. The wheel tax has to be used for transportation projects. So at least that way the person knows where their money is going. If it's a user fee, it's a wheel tax, it will be going toward the roads.
And that cutback in state aid has affected a lot of transportation projects, including bus service in the greater Wausau area. A lot of municipalities no longer felt that they could afford to pay for it.
I know that's true here in Wausau. The routes are going smaller and smaller. You know, people are, you know, some of the vehicles are getting more fuel economy, and people are starting to, you know, the economy is on a little spin up, and more people are traveling by themselves, and it definitely has effect with the bus routes here in town.
Let's go back to the phones. Gordy in Mosinee, you're on Route 51. Hello, Gordy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If you're talking about money and safety on the roads, why is it never taken into consideration that road salt causes Wisconsin highways to cost approximately five times the national average to maintain because of road salt? And if it's really just put on the road for safety, then why aren't there any vehicle safety inspections? I've been a mechanic for 50 years, and guess what? Most of my living has been fixing rusted out cars and brake lines, antifreeze lines, transmission lines, gas lines leaking all over the place all the time. Anyway, so I've driven back and forth across the country because I'm originally from the state of Washington. When you drive through Montana at 6,000 foot mountain passes and sub-zero weather, the worst weather I've ever been in, 59 below zero, and they don't use road salt. And there's a reason for this. It's not as safe, and it costs way too much in the long term.
All right, Gordy, we got it. Let's get a reaction from Jim Griesbach. What would happen if you cut back on the use of road salt in order to save our roads?
I know some of the roads in the western part of the United States, they'll just close the roads. The traffic isn't quite as heavy out there as we have in these areas here. The people are traveling more and more in the area. For example, Bob is from Stratford. I'm actually from Stratford myself. I drive in. My wife travels into Wausau also for work. So people are traveling, you know, 25, 30 miles one way to work a lot of times. And
if you cut back on the use of road salt, what would happen to the safety conditions on our highways and local streets?
Right now, if we wouldn't be using road salt, our phone would be ringing steady because of the people in the ditches.
Are there alternatives? I heard people are using beet juice, which
we actually use beet juice ourselves.
You do?
Yeah. What we do is we spray a mixture of salt brine, beet juice, and sometimes magnesium chloride on the road to make that salt work faster. Because the salt actually needs moisture to activate it. So we're actually jump-starting that that salt with that mixture that we put on the road. And what it does is it drops how long that salt can be working on that road and how fast it works. So we are using alternatives right now. After you get down below about in the single digits, salt quits working. So then we'll go to a sand mixture. Well, all the sand does, it gives you some grit on the road. It does not get rid of the salt, the ice conditions at all. So you need to have something to get rid of those.
All
ice
that's
conditions.
A significant part of your budget.
Correct.
Every
it
year,
is. Yes. Our county winter maintenance budget is about $2.1 million, and that's just on the county roads. It has nothing to do with the state system.
We're going to hear from some other folks right now, and then I'm going to get reaction from our guests. The question we asked our listeners is, what do you think of the state of our roads and highways? Is there too little road construction or too much? Would you be willing to pay more in taxes to pay for better roads? Today's show producer, Max Harding, got these comments from, and here are the interview subjects in this order, Jen Goldbach of Rothschild, Joshua Swenson of Wausau, Mark Cannonan of Green Bay, Brandy Bunkelman of Athens, Nicole Knight of Schofield, and Julie Brown, who just moved to central Wisconsin from Minneapolis, Matt Binder of Wausau, and Owen Schultz of Wausau. Here's Max Harding.
So how do you feel about the current status of our highways and streets in Wisconsin?
Overall, I think they're above average. I mean, there's certain stretches that could use some significant maintenance, but overall, I mean, again, comparing to other states that we've traveled through, I think we're above average.
There could be improvements. You know, there's either complaints of the roads are too bad, or there's complaints that there's too much construction, so you really can't have it both ways.
I think if we look at our infrastructure and stuff like that, we know we have the winter damage and stuff, and it's going to happen. Snowplows are going to hit bumps and take chunks out. I don't like all the rough bumps and stuff like that are around yet in spring. I think they should be fixed right away so we're not damaging our vehicles.
They're horrible. Very rough roadways, and especially being in Athens. I mean, I live out in the country. You know, it's definitely need some work, that's for sure.
In general, they're in decent shape. There's always places that need to be repaired, but that's kind of the nature of roads. All right. Would you be willing to pay more taxes in order to improve the roadways?
Well, absolutely. What else can we do? We live in a harsh environment with extreme weather conditions, and that's going to take a toll on the roads. And what other choice do we have but to maintain them?
You know, to be honest, I live in Stettin, and our taxes are ridiculously high already. So I would say no. I would think that they could probably allocate money maybe a little more efficiently.
Probably a little bit more. I'd object if it, you know, started getting really expensive, but those kind of things are going to go up. The costs are going to go up one way or another, and we have to figure out how to pay for them one way or another.
Yes, I mean, that's the only way how government really works. In order to get something done, you're going to have to put more money forward. Like, it's just basic logic, economics. I don't see a problem in that.
Definitely, especially when I'm, like, driving on the highways, because all my relatives live in Minnesota. I can definitely feel the roads are needing work, and I'm getting my motorcycle license soon, and for people riding motorcycles, cracks are a big deal, because the little bounce sideways could mean the difference between falling or staying upright and not breaking any bones.
I guess, sure, but I mean, there's a limit on how far you're going to go, you know? I don't think most of us want to be paying for tolls like some other states, but you got to take it from somewhere, so I guess we almost have to raise taxes to get it that way.
I think the amount of taxes that the average taxpayer pays is enough for them to maintain what we're doing. People are complaining about taxes all the time. Let's just make sure we have legislators to take that tax money we have, put it where it needs to be. Efficient roads, healthy roads, fixed and maintained are good for everybody. We don't need to be damaging our cars. We don't need to be waking up babies that are sleeping because we hit a pothole. We just need to be able to go and flow naturally.
That's our producer, Max Harding, talking to local folks about the state of our roads and whether or not they would like to see their taxes go up to pay for them. Craig Thompson, your reaction to what you just heard.
You know, I think you got a good cross section there, and it obviously depends on where exactly you live and, you know, which ones you're driving over and what you're experiencing. But I think a lot of what you heard is a lot of different things that we're hearing. And, you know, I think, again, if you look at, rather than just general taxes, if you look at it through the registration fee or the gas tax, I think you could make adjustments that could get Wisconsin, you know, on the right path where, you know, whether it's through one or the other that, you know, generally people could be paying $30, $40, $50 a year more. So I don't think people are talking about things that would be completely draconian. You know, there was a Marquette law school poll that was out yesterday statewide, and they asked that same question. They asked folks of the $939 million deficit, would you support paying higher taxes and fees, support cuts, or borrow more? And statewide, the answer was 43% said that they would support paying higher taxes and fees, 33% said cut, and 12% said borrow more. So, again, you know, you see some divergence of opinion.
Bob Culp, your reaction to what you heard and your reaction to what Craig Thompson just said.
Well, like Craig just said, there was a good cross-section of people that were interviewed there, and I appreciate that. And that's really the difficult thing as an elected official is to listen to those various inputs and then to try to find something that makes sense and that can get done. Let's just look at the numbers for a little bit. There's 3.3 billion gallons of fuel sold on an annual basis in the state. That number hasn't changed a lot, hasn't gone up or down a lot. But right now there's a 30.9-cent gas tax on it. What would it take to balance or to backfill or to fill, I should say, that $939 million biannual hole? If we raise the gas tax by 10 cents a gallon off $3.3 billion, that turns into $330 million. So that is, you know, just to put the numbers into perspective, you'd really need to raise the gas tax at least 15 cents, if not 20 cents a gallon. At that point, it really gets to be a challenge because we're more expensive at that point than states out around us. User fees, I love the concept of user fees as contrasted with putting property tax up, because that is something that you own and that you will have to pay on again and again as contrasted with going out on the road and actually using it. Doing a registration fee is going to be probably can adjust that somewhat, but taking that up to the point where we're $200 and $300 is going to affect the people that only travel 5,000 to 8,000 miles a year in an inverse proportion. So we have to just continue this dialogue and then get something done.
Well, the gas tax, there are more and more people driving electric cars, driving fuel efficient hybrids. They're still putting wear and tear on the road. Bob, you know, you run a business, Culps of Stratford. Your fleet is outfitted on natural gas, isn't it?
It was. At this point, those vehicles have indexed out. But even natural gas, CNG and propane, are all, you know, they have a tax component to them. So it's not like you're tax-free at that point. And doing something with hybrids, certainly we need to set up a system that works for the long term, that's scalable. At this point, it is such a minute part of what we're missing, if you look at it that way, is such a minute part of the overall road budget, transportation budget, that it really doesn't fix the problem to just tax those guys, is what I'm saying.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Rolf in Hayward. Rolf, you're on Route 51. Are you actually in Hayward picking up this program right now?
Actually, I'm driving around the north, but I pulled over so I would have some reception. But I live near Hayward, rural, and I've been on our town board, one of the neighboring towns, for quite a few years. And so this is a discussion that we have, you know, roads and infrastructure quite a bit. And seems to me like even if statewide, if we can all agree that somehow raising taxes and increasing user fees in ways that we could draw from would be a good idea, I still don't think that that's going to really be the solution. I think we have to think on it in a maybe more, not radical, but a different way than what we're talking about, because at least on the town level, we're faced with working with a budget where we may only be able to repave 1 mile of road a year in a town that's got a lot of roads to take care of and a lot of winter wear and tear. We don't have what city and urban folks have in terms of the road usage, but we get plenty with tourists and locals and logging. And so, you know, it's just there's just a tiny bit of work that we can afford to do every year and some patching. And I think no matter how we raise these other things, the fees that we're talking about, we wouldn't feel much impact at all, at least on the town level. I'm not sure what the solution would be, but I think if it's like on a national level, drawing from other sources that get a lot of funding and putting more of it into infrastructure countrywide, that might be one way of looking at it.
Well,
thanks for the show.
Thank you so much for the phone call. Craig Thompson, your reaction.
Well, I think what he's facing at the town level up, you know, near Hayward is what a lot of towns are facing throughout the state. I know the Towns Association Executive Director Mike Colas has been surveying his members, and the replacement schedule that he was talking about of 1 mile a year, that's not out of the ordinary at all. And so, you know, it's, you know, we've got significant challenges. I know for Jim Grease back at the county level, his peers did a survey for their organization, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but for the amount that people are able to do each year, you know, for roads that are constructed to last about 40 years, I think the average replacement schedule for the counties was about 200 years. Is that right?
Yeah, it's up there. Actually, on the asphalt roads, you're looking at a 20-year life cycle on a blacktop road.
Okay.
So here in Marathon County, we maintain 611 miles of road. For us just to keep up, we would need to do over 30 miles, just shade over 30 miles a year. Currently, we're about the 25 to 27 miles a year replacement program.
Today on Route 51, we are looking at infrastructure, the condition of our local roads, highways, and bridges, and the cost of paying for them. With Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford, Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to take a short break, but first, here is Stevens Point's own Dave Dudley with a great truck driving song.
Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead of it, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like the Wausau River District and the Wisconsin Historical Society play a role in the success of WPR. Become a business sponsor. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from attorneys Sturgill and Long, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and the Michigan Upper Peninsula. Information is at 888-613-0600.
Each year, many businesses and organizations from Milwaukee to Green Bay, Eau Claire to Superior, and right here in central Wisconsin support Wisconsin Public Radio. Their support helps WPR provide the news and information you rely on each day. If you'd like your business or organization to support WPR, contact Jane Whitaker at 715-261-6176.
Get a dose of state politics Monday mornings on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, and every Monday morning after 7, we review the top issues facing Wisconsin in our state capitol report. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, gets us up to speed on the debates taking place in Madison and what your elected representatives are up to on the state capitol report, Monday mornings on the Ideas Network.
Another great old road song, Crossroads, performed by Greg Koch and the Tone Controls, in another live performance earlier this year on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about infrastructure, the condition of our local roads, highways, and bridges with Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association, Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford, and Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. Gentlemen, what I'd like to talk about right now are our bridges. We all remember the collapse of the I-35 West Mississippi River Bridge across the St. Anthony Falls in Minneapolis. 13 people killed, 145 injured on a bridge that carried an estimated 140,000 vehicles per day. Craig Thompson, could that happen in Wisconsin, and what are we doing to make sure that it doesn't?
You know, I don't want to be alarmist and talk about, you know, whether there would be a catastrophic instance on a bridge. And I think we've, between the DOT and the county highway folks and the Federal Highway Administration comes here, I think we check our bridges very regularly. But I will tell you, as Jim pointed out, in doing that, we find out that we do have a good number that are structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. And, you know, we don't have the funds to be replacing them in time. So what ends up happening on many of them is what Jim said, is now you have to lower the weight limit for what you can allow across that bridge. And, you know, again, that has pretty significant impacts on the economy and on businesses in the area. So I think we're staying on top of it. I think if bridges get to the critical point, they're either shut down or weight restricted more. But again, I think Jim would be in a more direct spot to be able to talk about that.
And Jim Griesbach?
In Marathon County, we have 110 bridges on the county system. Right now, we have 24 of those that are sufficient. With the sufficiency readings, are they rate every bridge. We inspect them every other year as long as they're in good condition. Always those inspection rates drop down to either 6 months or yearly. Out of those bridges, like I said, we have 24 of them that are right now under that 50 number, which becomes structurally sufficient. So we do have a definite need for repair of bridges in Marathon County. When you're looking at those bridges, you're looking at a life expectancy about 40 years on a bridge like that. So, again, doing that simple math like I did before with the asphalt, we need to be replacing about three of those a year, two to three a year. This is a good year. We're replacing two of them, but there's been many years we haven't replaced any, and you just start falling more behind, and it starts going faster and faster.
We're running very short on time, but I do want to squeeze in one more phone call. Aaron in Wausau, you're on Route 51. Please keep your comments short. We're almost out of time.
You bet, Glenn. Hey, thank you so much for your time. I know Bob and some of the other people from working with them through the business community. And, you know, when I look at this topic, I know it's a tough topic for people to grapple with. And I think maybe there's a way that we can maybe come to a solution by doing more public education about our road system, about how it's funded, and maybe about some of these options. Because when you take a look at that Marquette poll, it seems pretty obvious that there are a lot of people that want to do something to make this situation better. So maybe it's just maybe it's just a PR issue that we need to find a way to tackle.
Bob Culp?
I absolutely agree, Aaron. And the education, I had mentioned that early on, is to the easy way out for elected officials is to say, I'm never going to raise taxes or user fees no matter what the cost. Or the other easy way on the other side of the spectrum is to say, we need money, we're going to raise taxes. Somewhere in the middle, there has to be a lot of discussion with a lot of different people that are involved from different angles. We have to verify that we're doing a good job with the transportation money that's already there, and that's what the comprehensive audit of the DOT will do for us later this fall. It'll give us a degree of confidence and cost savings, and then we can move ahead. I believe we need this debate, and I'm glad to be here today.
Jim Griesbach, nobody wants to see their taxes go up, but they sure complain when there are problems with the roads and bridges, don't they?
My phone rings continuously.
And Craig Thompson, your reflection on the compromises that have to be made. We've got a comment from Aaron on Facebook who says, there's no way around finding a way to pay for improvements to our roads. It's working toward a common sense compromise, which isn't easy in this day and age.
No, it seems to be tough in this day and age. But, you know, of course we don't want to pay more in a user fee or a tax. But when we keep borrowing more and having to pay more in debt service, and when we keep not making the treatments at the time we're supposed to, it drives up the cost of projects, and we pay more for past debt. So we're not saving people money, and we're making things more expensive by ignoring the problem. I think, you know, again, Representative Culp and his colleagues, I give his house a lot of credit. The Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, has shown a tremendous amount of leadership and has pledged that this budget we are going to address this issue and find a solution. And again, I think if you look at our neighbors, Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, they all have, well, not Illinois because they've got tolls, but the other ones have value-based registration, which means the registration fees they pay every year are significantly higher than the ones we have. I'm not advocating that's what we do, but that's where they fund more of theirs, and then their gas taxes within a couple cents of where ours is at. Between the two, I think you look at the mix, and I don't know that you have to come up with the entire amount of money that Representative Culp was talking about, because that $939 million includes no bonding, and I think we all agree that, you know, a certain level of bonding is legitimate. You just can't increase it at the levels that we were before. So I think there's a compromise to be had there, and I think, you know, sane minds can sit down and look at what's the best deal for the taxpayer.
Craig Thompson, you've got the last word.
Woo! I got the key now, man, to the highway. Bailed now, I'm bound to go. I'm going to leave here running, child.
We want to thank today's guest, Craig Thompson of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, Republican Assemblyman Bob Culp of Stratford, and Marathon County Highway Commissioner Jim Griesbach. You can find out more about the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin at tdawisconsin.org. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to today's show producer, Max Harding. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special road music today by the Marshall Tucker Band, Willie Nelson, Dave Dudley, and these road songs from live performances on Route 51, 51 Highway by Robert One Man Johnson, Have Some Fun on Route 51 by Denise Sauter, Crossroads by Greg Koch, and Key to the Highway by Howard Guitar Lutke. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.
Walking's much too slow.